Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to another Unreal After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are going to be discussing Season 2, Episode 8, Fugitive, and we have a very special guest Skyping in from New York, so please stay tuned.
You're tuning in to the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Thank you so very much for tuning in to a very special edition of our Unreal After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. Like I promised, we have a very special guest Skyping in, Danae Benton. Hey, Danae.
Hi, guys.
Thanks so much for being here. We're thrilled to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So where can everyone find you on social media, for those that don't know?
I am on Twitter and Instagram as Danae Benton, just my first and last name, no spaces, but without the accent.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
And we have a special new guest host here with us because Lucretia and Abby couldn't be here. So please introduce yourself and let us know where we can find you on Twitter.
Hi, guys. My name is Taylor Gates. You can find me on Twitter at @Alphaba_Anne and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
Hey, guys. I'm Renee Ariel, and you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel.
And guys, don't forget, of course, to follow AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV, basically everywhere, and use the hashtag #ABTVUnreal if you want to chat with us. We are in the live chat as well, and just please ask Danae questions because I know I sure have a bunch. It was, I'm so happy that you're back. Well, you were back for a little bit.
Me too.
It was very refreshing to see you again. So did you know, Danae, when, you know, you shot the show and then you got sent home by Darius, did you stay and shoot or did they say, like, oh, come back, we're having you come back on the show?
I stayed. I've sort of known my character arc from the beginning. I didn't necessarily know when everything would occur, but I knew kind of the bullet points of, like, the, you know, him sending me home and then me coming back, and so I've known kind of the rough over arc.
And is this, I mean, you probably can't tell us anything, but is this the last we're seeing of you, do you think? Possibly?
We'll have to keep watching. I will say that you are in store for some more nice Unreal drama this season.
Love that.
That's a very PC answer.
I know. It's so hard for everyone to kind of, like, tell us that comes on the show. They just look at us and they, like, smile and they're like, good guess. Nice prediction. What did you guys think of this episode overall?
I really liked it. I thought, especially, this was such a Rachel realization for me because it makes so much sense why she is the way she is and why she does some of the things that she does. And it was just like a huge moment where, like, I understand so many of her actions. Not that it justifies them by any means, but I do, like, get where she's coming from for once in this whole series.
Yeah, I really liked that we got some background on Rachel and her mom because I feel like we've been waiting for that since last season, like, since the first time she went home. And, I mean, they didn't, like, really tease it in the promo or anything, so I wasn't expecting, like, this big reveal, but I'm so happy that we got it.
Absolutely. Yeah, Danae, were you a fan of the show last season? Mm-hmm. Did you watch it all? I'm sure you caught up if you didn't.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't watched it until I actually went into audition for it, and then I told myself I was just going to, like, watch the pilot before the audition, and then literally 10 episodes later, I was like, well, I guess I know everything I need to know because I was hooked. So it was definitely in conjunction with the show, but it's like they really leave you wanting more. It's like drugs. And I remember when I got that script about Rachel, I was like, oh my God, because we're all wondering too, like, why is this woman so damaged?
Yeah.
And finding that out was like gasp worthy, obviously.
Well, you know, I'm sure as a woman and an actor, being on this show, it creates such interesting female characters created by females. And it, besides being on the show, which is a huge honor, and I honestly think that Ruby is probably the fan favorite as far as the contestants for the season.
Yeah, I actually just got a message in our chat from Julie, and she said, I love Ruby so much, I want her back.
I love you guys, too.
But what was that like working with all these strong women and having it? And it's, we're flawed. We're not, they're not portraying us as some like perfect, you know, gender.
I love it. I feel like, first of all, on just an actor side, I love being surrounded by that many women. It was so fun being in the green room in bikinis at 3 a.m. making and just being like ridiculous and goofy and disgusting and just seeing how colorful women really are. And I feel like in life, we're sort of, you know, like taught to act like a lady and all of these things. And I'm always shocked at how we got that image, because as soon as you get in a room full of women, you realize like how not tactful we can actually be. And it's wonderful. And I think that a cool thing about the show, especially about Rachel and Quinn, is that like they're women that are painted to be cutthroat and ambitious. And I feel like we have so many male characters like that from, you know, from Entourage to The Sopranos, all these shows where, like, men are allowed to, like, bulldoze anything in their way to get what they want. And a lot of times, you know, women are the sad wife or the girlfriend sitting at home wondering when he'll find his heart. And in this case, Rachel and Quinn are bulldozing things down. And while I don't necessarily think it's the best and healthiest way to live your life, I think that it's wonderful to see the truth behind human beings being ambitious and power hungry, and no matter your gender, we all have access to that kind of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And it breeds consequences sometimes.
Sometimes.
Well, sometimes, yeah. I mean, listen, being strong and power hungry is good, but it's these two women, Quinn and Rachel, can take it a little far, don't you guys think?
Absolutely. Just a little. Just like a teeny bit.
I wouldn't recommend living your life that way. We see that Quinn and Rachel aren't necessarily the happiest people in the world.
Oh, God. I know. When I was watching last night in my bed, because Renee always tells me every time she watches, she's like, I can't breathe. And I, you know, I just feel like everything, I'm just like, ugh. And I was in bed last night holding my breath, and I was just like, yep, that's about right.
Yeah. They don't let you know what's coming. They really do just, like, keep you on those heels.
Absolutely.
Best. The show is so unpredictable. I said that so many times, but it really is. Like, this episode, I did not see coming. Aside from we did...
Yes.
But we'll get to that.
Well, let's get into that then. Yael, hot Rachel. Danae, we had a lot of predictions about what her deal was, and we were right.
Just to throw it in there.
Yeah. We got a few tweets telling us that we were right, so I really appreciate being told that. That's like one of my favorite things.
Keep them coming. It's fine. Thank you.
Monica had a hard job. She had to keep that a secret from all of us, and we would all be guessing, like, What's her secret? And she wasn't allowed to tell us until we all got that episode.
Oh, that's awesome, though.
Yeah, I mean, because we had Megan Tandy last week, and she said when everyone got it, read the script for this week, they were just like, oh, yeah, okay, cool.
I mean, I guessed it, I like to say. Monica wouldn't tell me, but I guessed it.
What did you guys think of the big reveal of Yael being a reporter?
I was excited that it finally came out, because I feel like we've been waiting, like, okay, what's your deal, Yael? Like, why are you so nosy? And finally, it just kind of gave us confirmation. I want to know more about it, though, because we got the overall, like, she's a reporter, she's doing a story on, reality TV Kills?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want to know more about what she's delved into aside from just the Mary suicide, and I also want to find out now what she's doing with Coleman, who I knew was bad from the beginning.
Yep.
Did you know?
I knew. I called it. I'm like, he's shady. I was like, guys, he's too good to be true. I don't trust him. I don't believe his intentions with Rachel.
Taylor, as I know you're a huge, huge fan of the show,
yes.
And now you're on our panel for the first time, so we need to hear your, like, opinions about Coleman. I mean...
Oh, I knew. I'm with you. I knew he was fishy from the beginning. And, like, the thing is, this episode, like, confirmed that he was a snake, but I feel like he, like, really, really tried not to be until, like, the end there when he was like, it's like, you know, my career, Rachel's, and he's always going to pick himself.
I think that he always knew he didn't, like, fully care that much about Rachel. Like, it was kind of like a fling. He really liked her, but it wasn't too serious. And then when she laid that on him, she told him that she got raped, he was laying there like, oh, I don't know how to handle this right now, because he's not... I I don't necessarily think he's just a bad person in general, but I do think when it comes to his work, he's selfish and will just do what it takes to get what he wants.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. Here's what I thought. So I was with you, Renee, at the beginning, and then I'm such a sucker. I see you, Danae, you're like, yeah, me too. I mean, the show gets me, and I was like, oh, no, we are, you know, mistaken. He is a nice, sweet man that just loves her. But, listen, I'm still going to be an idiot because I think that he, in his head, is just as twisted as Rachel and thinks that, like, he's going to be able to get them both out of this. But one of them is going to end up going down.
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of people are going to end up going down. But I think that in his head, he's like, I can make this all work. We can be in love and we can be happy. And then, like, I will expose the show and we'll create our own thing. I think he thinks that he's going to be able to, like, contain and continue this with Rachel.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know. What was it? Did you get to work with Michael Brady at all, Danae?
Scenes together, but the way a couple of the directors shot, a lot of us were all on set together at the same time. So I got to hang out with Michael a lot, which was great. And Kim and I, who played Tiffany, were all obsessed with Hamilton. And that's how we'd get through the late overnight shoots.
You're listening to Hamilton?
Yeah, you knew it was getting late when someone busted out some, like, you know, not throwing away my shot. I was like, okay, it's fourth quarter time now.
That is on my summer playlist. I haven't even seen the show, but it's on my Spotify summer playlist.
As it should be.
Well, we do see this moment between Rachel and Coleman where he gets her out of the hospital, tells her that he loves her, so you thought that was, like, bullshit?
What it led to, she was all drugged up and he put her in front of a camera to get her to admit things that she'd never do sober. Yeah, I think it was definitely a way to get that. I was like, oh my gosh, maybe he does love her for a second. And then as soon as she gets out, the first thing he does, poor Rachel drugged up. I never thought I'd say poor Rachel next to each other like that. But poor Rachel all drugged up and he throws her in front of a camera to get her to admit things that could incriminate her.
Yeah, like
for
that,
sure.
That was not like the therapeutic thing he was telling Quinn it was. Like that is like totally just like backup in case he needs it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, we'll talk about, oh, God, I can't even with that.
Wanted to believe him. I thought they were just going to go off into the sunset, as I do. I'm too much of a hopeless romantic. These shows always end up crashing my dreams.
Right. Danae, what's your sign?
I'm a Capricorn.
Oh, okay. I'm a Libra. I was like, maybe we're just the same because we're both sensitive and have trouble with balance, but that's just me.
Okay. I don't know what it is. What maybe I'm just a gullible.
Just person. Yeah. I think I am too. Well, that gets into Darius and Ruby, which, yay. I mean, we knew because you were coming to the show, so, but for the viewers, that must have been super exciting.
Yeah. I loved that Ruby is such a strong character, and I was so worried that when she came back, because obviously she had to come back, I was so worried she'd, like, be weak and be like, well, even though you, like, left me, I still love you, and sweet and, you know, vulnerable. But I love that she was strong. Like, you got 5 minutes. Like, I love that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because that would have been so out of character.
Yeah.
As much as I love them together and, like, want them to work it out, like, I know that, like, that just couldn't happen considering the person that she is. And like, he broke her heart on television.
On television, right? After their whole conversation, I would be pissed.
Yeah, and she is, and I don't blame her.
Yeah.
How did you play that, Danae? I mean, did you play it coming as though you still love him and you're going to see what he has to say, or did you go in there knowing you were just going to shut it down?
I think that I felt like Ruby obviously still loved him, otherwise she wouldn't have shown up. I think anybody who's broken up with broken up with that way obviously has a lot of questions, and while in her mind, she maybe told herself she'd never give him the time of day again. I think your curiosity gets the best of you. But I do think that, like, while I don't know that there was room in her heart to completely be won over in that minute, I remember, like, as Danae reading after he, like, said that nice monologue, because in the script, the scene was a little bit longer, and I was like, oh, like, what's Ruby going to say? And then she, like, came back with that, and I was like, no, Danae, no, she's right. And the lines about, you know, first of all, you told the world I'm not a love story. I burst into tears as soon as I read that line. Simply just like, just on so many layers of what that means as, like, a woman anytime who in race or physical fitness or anything doesn't fit into, like, the stereotype of what Hollywood deems as beautiful a lot of the times. I think a lot of us know what that feels like. So I read that line and I was like, oh, heartbreaking. And then for her to say, like, first of all, you did that. Second of all, you're going to try to win me over in some crappy diner hidden, like, in the middle of nowhere where no one can see after you told the entire world. So I think that kind of got Danae being like, okay, Ruby speaking sense. Like, we need a romantic gesture, like, come in on a helicopter, something.
Like, Pretty Woman style?
Yeah, Pretty Woman style. Literally, like, when I thought about it, I was like, right, we're in this crappy middle of nowhere diner. You're broke down. You don't have anything to offer me now. And you just want me to come crawling back with your sincere eyes? I don't think so.
I think while there was
still love there and there was room, I think she's a woman with standards, and if he was gonna win her over, it wasn't gonna be like this.
But I mean, to me, because now that I'm hearing you say that, it makes complete sense, and I've switched my opinion. But at first, I thought to myself, well, Darius knows that she, like, didn't really even want to be on the show and doesn't like all of the glamour and glitz and hoopla. You know, maybe that's why he's doing that. But then from your point of view and Ruby's point of view, I do understand. It's like, but what if he had invited her to come back to the show, which she would have laughed in his face?
Right. I think there was a different way to do it, though. I think that Darius being at the top of his field for so long, I think she understands that he's the type of person who doesn't necessarily always have to work really hard to get what he wants, and that his sincere smile probably has gotten him out of a lot of situations. But this is a case of, like, I don't think Ruby has the answer of what he needs to do to make it better, but this wasn't it. You know, and that, like, it doesn't need to be in front of millions of people, but there needed to be a bigger effort. Something yeah. stronger involved that made her see, like, how much, because I think he made her feel unworthy, and I think that there needed to be some rom-com sized romantic gestures involved here.
I agree completely. He went about it all wrong. I did mm-hmm. not like how he went about it. I wanted it to work just because I love Darius and I love Ruby and I love them together, but, like, this was so not romantic, and it was just like, what are you doing, Darius? Stop.
Yeah. What are we supposed to do? There was this one line where it ended up making it to the final cut, but it was like, what does that look like? What, you move into my dorm room and hang out with my dad? what is this supposed to be? How are we going to do this?
It's true,
and he has to come up with some answers to those questions if he wants this to happen.
True.
But he is so volatile that he's like a little boy. It's like you make him upset, and he's like, I'm going to do the opposite now. I'm going to go crazy and just be an ass.
They do crap like that, don't they?
Yeah. No matter how old they get. Were you a big fan of, by the way, guys, today at work, I was like, Darius and Ruby. And I was like, Doobie. And I was like, oh, wait, no. Have you been a fan of their relationship too, Taylor?
Yeah, I definitely have. Like, I really have been rooting for them, like, for a while. And like I said, like, I really wanted it to work. Like, I wanted it to so bad. But I am, like, ultimately glad that Ruby, like, stuck to her guns, because she does deserve better. Like, he totally made her feel like a last resort. Like, he just had, like, surgery. His friend is, like, in the hospital. Like, it's a last resort from her point of view.
Yeah.
See, what I thought was that you were going to come back, Ruby was going to come back because of the shooting and, you know, like, to police brutality stuff, that you and your dad were working on some kind of campaign or something about it, and that you were kind of going to come back to be like, oh my god, are you okay? But that's not what happened. I'm sure that you cared, but it wasn't public knowledge.
Well, they kept it all hush-hush, right?
Like, exactly.
I don't think the public knows.
Yeah, the public didn't know, but Jay, let's talk about Jay a little bit, because he knew that Darius was going to contact you, but then you still looped him in. Like, you did bring Darius back into the world. Like, what happened, and was there something that got deleted? And I also want to hear about the stuff that, you know, got cut out, because I could tell maybe some things weren't shown, and I wish I could have seen them.
I think with I think that maybe the reason why Ruby let Jay know where Darius is, I think she was probably protecting herself a little bit and didn't want to necessarily fall back into his trap, because I think that she does love him. But I think knowing that Jay was coming gave her, like, okay, I can stick to my guns, because, like, this can't... I'm not even going to allow the possibility of him winning me over, even if my heart does start to melt. But I think, like, some of the little moments that were cut out, you guys definitely got the meat of everything. There was, like, at the beginning, there was a little bit more of Darius sort of making excuses of, like, look, like, you know, nobody ever really talks to me like that, and I kind of felt like I wasn't good enough for you, and you were, what was it? I think he maybe said this part, like, you wanted me to be a better version of myself, and I was scared to try. And so there was that, and then I think that's pretty much it. Now that I'm thinking, I feel like it was that and maybe one other line that they ended up trimming down. But with Jay coming, you know, I think that, oh, yeah, I sort of say that, like, I can't fix your problems for you, like, nor do I want to fix your problems for you. And so when Jay shows up and Darius is like, you're going to make me go back to that place, Ruby is like, I'm not making you do anything. You sent me home, remember? Like, I already told you the things that I thought were great for you. And so I think at that point, she's like, this person is clearly not ready to take responsibility for what he wants. And he's just he's very easily influenced, I think, for Ruby's taste at this moment in time, or for what she thinks she deserves.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah. Do you think that by the time you and Darius had the conversation, Ruby as a character was like, okay, thank you for being such a stupid jerk, because you're making this easy for me to walk away?
No, I think it hurt. I think she really did love him and was willing to change a little bit of, not her dreams, but maybe how she thought she would get there. And I think that really what that scene was just heartbreak and her not willing to let anybody treat her that way, because I think she does know her self-worth, which is beautiful and a beautiful thing to see on screen. But I don't think she's leaving being like, oh gosh, like, he doesn't deserve me, I'm the best. I think that she really is sad, but knows that there's not going to be a version of a happy relationship in which she's not honest about how she feels she should be treated. And I think that moment did not represent how she feels she should be treated.
Do you think that she would have had a different reaction had Darius called her up, like, a couple weeks ago, like, almost, like, immediately after he cut her? Or do you think, like, once it was done, like, this was the reaction no matter what?
I think it's the way it was done. I think it's hard to come back from. That day was a traumatic day in Ruby's life. She, like, making love with this guy, her dad busts in, the man that she's looked up to her whole life says that he's ashamed of her, and then the man that you did this all for cuts you in front of 16 million people, essentially. I just think that Darius would I don't know what would make me okay with it, but I think that there is a way to get her forgiveness, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but that was a hard way to get broken up with.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I could only imagine what poor Ruby's been doing the past couple weeks. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think she just went back home and maybe nursed her wounds. I don't know.
Yeah, probably in a state of shock, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, Ruby busts out of there. We don't know if we're going to see her again. And that makes me very sad.
Me too. Yeah, I want to see her again. Two more episodes, guys. Come on.
Yeah. I know. I'm creating this, like, ending of the season that's so not the way Unreal works, that it's like, you know, he leaves Tiffany, you know, as he's about to propose, and then he runs on a horse and, like, go gets Ruby, and then they are on the horse together, and they're drinking champagne and kissing.
And then Adam comes, and then Rachel and Adam get married.
Double wedding.
And then they have a double wedding.
Predictions. Yeah, I mean, that's not going to happen, obviously. She's like, no, not at all. But I just, because what's interesting about Darius as opposed to Adam last season, I said last week that Darius was like a slow burn.
Yeah.
We didn't fall in love with him at first. We were like, what's this guy all about? Why isn't he so excited to be, you know, the suitor? But he's just a real human being.
Yeah.
And right. He wanted a real girl. Ugh. I love Ruby. She's the best.
Well, I know Sarah Gertrude Shapiro... Sarah Gertrude Shapiro said that, like, because they did Faith Diaries, which was that spinoff. She thinks that Ruby would be a perfect match for the spinoff, the little web series, so I'm hoping for that.
We shall see. That'd be awesome. I mean, I would love to get to spend more time with Ruby. She's, just, like, I feel like she's my alter ego, and, like, I feel like she's someone I'm going to get to tap into when I need a little extra strength now.
Aw. That is a really good point. Even watching Ruby, it helps us kind of, like, as a women, you know, tap into that. And the thing about Ruby, too, is that we get to know, we see her in her element before she came on the show, and I don't think we really saw any other girls in their element before they came on the show.
No.
Really good point.
I mean, and it was very memorable, and, you know, you were just such a get, and we got to see your hesitance and all of that, so I really did love it, and I hope this isn't the last we see of her. Yes. And even if it is for this season, I'm still going to be like, they're going to get together one day. So, of course, Jay convinces Darius. They have this really interesting conversation, you know, about getting him back on the show and that they're all playing a game and he, you know, that Tiffany needs to win. I don't understand why Tiffany needs to win. I just don't. She is not there for the right reasons.
Nope.
But I'm just still not quite sure why she's there.
I don't really get why she's there either.
I think it's because she wants to, like, get out of her father's shadow and establish something else for herself.
So, the everlasting, she's like, that's how I'm going to going to make me.
Tell us about, like, working with Kim and stuff and, you know, her character that you got to interact with.
I mean, Kim is the greatest. We had so much fun. She was one of my Hamilton pals, so she helped me through many a wintry night. But her character, I think it's kind of tragic because she goes on there, obviously, to get out of her dad's shadow and maybe, like, I don't know, start a fashion line or something after that. Instead, everyone on the show keeps using her for her connections to her dad, and I think that Tiffany and Darius in the show definitely do have, like, a flirty connection. Like, I think they both have been really well-trained on how to be trophies, and I think they understand that part of one another really well. But Darius also gets, like, okay, his back is injured, he can't play football anymore. It wouldn't be so bad to get in with figuring out how to become a team owner. Chet is like, okay, I want to diversify so Quinn can be interested. So it kind of sucks because she comes on for this, but everybody only sees her dad's connections, and so I think that a lot of her acting out and this kind of sporadic behavior probably comes from the fact of, like, crap, this is the exact opposite reason why I came on the show.
What do you guys think about Tiffany right now?
I don't know what to think of Tiffany right now. That moment with her and Chet was unexpected on her part, not on his, because, of course, if any, like, beautiful woman makes out with Chet, I'm like, oh, okay. But, like, I didn't see that from her, and I love the line of, like, you should have known I had daddy. There's something about that. And it was just interesting, because that creates a whole nother storyline without them. And, like, that look, the poor, like, Chet puppy dog look when she was going in with Darius.
I felt so sad, and I'm, like, not even a huge Chet fan, but I was like, oh my god, this is so depressing, like.
I was just like, Chet, you're such a dog.
He was just rejected by Quinn, like, once and for all this episode, so he's like, well, now this is another heartbreak. Can't get a win, Chet, can't get a win.
What was it like working with Craig Bierko?
Craig is great. Also, you know, Craig and Ruby and Chet didn't necessarily cross over directly a ton, but Craig was like a great energy to have on set, and his adorable dog Boo follows him everywhere, and it was fun. It was just great getting to see Chet and Shiri, or Craig and Shiri and Constance work, because one, they did the season already, and two, they're such pros. Like, they've been at this for such a long time that as, like, you know, this is my first TV series, so I feel like I was just kind of watching them with a pen and paper a lot of the time, seeing how they handled having so much material in each episode, and they all, and off, but then behind the scenes, they always kept it so light and playful and kept the energy so buoyant, which was really impressive because they just, they have such a huge chunk of the work.
Yeah, that's true. Me and you, Renee, we're Chet fans,
right? Oh, yeah, we love Chet.
Ugh,
you're gosh. Chet fans?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love Chet. I think he's so funny.
I've been since he was, like, so gross last season. Ugh. Even at the beginning, I was like, I like this weirdo.
Oh, I didn't like him last season. The liking started this season. I don't know, he just felt, like, more likable this season, to be honest. Last season, he was like, because with the whole Madison and him thing and then the wife and him thing, like, there wasn't a moment I was like, wow, this guy, he's a keeper. But this season, it's sweet to watch him, like, chase after Quinn and then not really know what he's doing, and I like it.
Yeah, he's grown on me, like, ever since he kind of helped out Rachel after, like, Jeremy, like, beat her up and everything. Like, he's been growing on me, like, since then, I guess. Like, I still don't, like, love him, but I tolerate him better.
Well, see, last season, it's not as though I thought, like, what a catch. I was like, he's a character, you know? It's a very funny character to enjoy, and we got a little bit of, I said, so last week, or a week, 2 weeks ago, Danae, I said Quet by accident instead of saying Quinn and Chet, and someone commented on YouTube, like, that is actually a word in another language, and it means something.
Something bad?
No, it was just something, like, regular. They were like, how funny, Quet. This is blah, blah, blah. They, like, provided me a dictionary definition in some other language. But we got to see some... No, I was like, thank you so much. We got to see this interaction between them, and it was sad and interesting. I mean, Quinn and Rachel really do have a lot in common because each of them goes, like, full on with the relationship so fast, not thinking about anything else.
Nope. It's... Yeah. I didn't... To be honest, the scene with Quinn and Chet, I didn't really find sad only because Quinn was so emotionless about it. Like, she was just like, it's over. And she's so focused. Like, I love her new relationship with this guy and seeing her all happy. And there's not all this baggage and all of these issues that they have to, like, work out. Like, it's just clean, a fresh slate. I think it's what this girl for sure needs. Or to be alone. But, like, you know, it's sweet to see them together. Whereas Chet, I don't know, they have all this history. A lot of it isn't good. By the way, love that mention that Madison said something about the blowjob thing. Of what did she say? Well, most of the people I know don't take blowjobs, or they get mad at random blowjobs. Yeah. I'm like, girl, yeah, they do. But
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, and then Quinn said another line to her, to Madison, when Madison said, like, ooh, I'm the best. Like, and she was just like, listen, I mean, you literally gave a blowjob to a producer. Let's see, you know, that's clearly how you do things. Like, you're going to go far. That's basically what she said in, like, some words, and that was really funny.
Yeah.
And
she also said something like, maybe you swallowed some of Chet's talent.
Yeah. I'd be interested to know if any of that was, like, kind of improv, because I know that they have kept some things, especially things that Darius has said, that he kind of just came up with on the fly. I feel like Quinn probably has some good one-liners that she just spits out, and maybe they take it, because that was hilarious.
That's so funny. I love all of Quinn's lines. I love. I say this every time. I love Quinn.
I know. I'm so happy for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nominated for an Emmy. It's huge.
That's awesome.
And for Lifetime, too.
Who
just
knew?
As a network.
Huge.
The writing got an Emmy nom for the pilot, too, which is really, just really cool to see, like, it get the recognition it deserves.
Yeah.
It's crazy that the pilot, right? Because that seems so long ago to us, but the way the season that it's in this, you know, summer season, that it's technically
this year.
Yeah, yes. I don't know. I hope the pilot was fantastic, so I really do hope that it gets the recognition that it deserves, because everyone that worked on it, I mean, it's been a lot of hard work. So we also get Coleman and Rachel and her mom and this whole debacle, like we kind of spoke about earlier. We get to find out what really happened to Rachel back when she was 12 years old. That's so young, and that would shape a young girl to become somebody like Rachel, having that happen to you so young.
Mm-hmm. And like,
that's the way it got handled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, yeah. It makes me, do you remember there was an episode in season 1 called Mother, I think, and mm-hmm. it was all about her mom, and now I want to go back and rewatch it I can, now I know what actually happened.
I'd like to look that up as well. I don't know, it just, I'm telling you, that moment, like, it just so much made, all of their, her relationship with her mom made so much sense, because you kind of got the sense, or at least I got the sense of when we're introduced to her mom, it's like, okay, her mom is kind of a nut and, like, falsely diagnoses her daughter. Okay, there, that is, like, people do that. There are people that do that, and that would make sense for the storyline, but the way they connected it with what happened to her as a child and how her mom diagnosed her and treated her, like, that made so much sense and made it, I think, such a better story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that actress is great, because I feel like you could always sense something was, like, off about her, but you couldn't, like, pinpoint it exactly, and I think this explanation really just makes a lot of sense, and if you went back and rewatched, it would be like all the pieces kind of clicking together with that in mind.
What did you think as a viewer, Danae, watching and reading that?
I know in the original script we got, it goes, I think there are a little more, a bit more lines saying that the mom was treating the patients at her house, doing mm-hmm. like these special treatments, and so the reason why she didn't want anybody to know what happened to Rachel is because she could have gotten her license taken away for practicing in her home. Like, mm-hmm. she was doing things that weren't necessarily approved by the boards of counseling and psychiatry. And so that was really interesting that, like, it's a completely selfish reason why her mom is keeping things so quiet. You know, it's not because she thinks that it's what's best for Rachel. It's because she was worried about her own career, which is just so devastating. And imagining Rachel growing up and as a child maybe thinking that her mom has her best interest at heart and getting older and being like, oh my God, no, this is what it actually is. I think as a viewer, Shiri broke my heart because she's so brilliant in her performances. And then as a reader, I couldn't for the life of me imagine what could have happened between them to make their relationship so terrible. And then finding that out, I was like, oh, God. Well, yeah, that clears things up.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, her mom did, I assume the police weren't involved. I assume she never, it was kind of like her mom just kept her drugged up to keep her quiet all these years, or it can really confuse her about what actually happened.
Absolutely.
Which is terrible.
And I really enjoyed the moment, I don't know about you guys, between Quinn and Rachel's mom. Because was cool. Do you guys think that Quinn knew the whole story and that's why she was like, you know, she's the devil, but she loves Rachel and keeps her secret, and it's not like Rachel was raped by, you know, her patient? Do you think she knew everything?
I don't know, because with their dynamic, I can't see that conversation going down. Because, I mean, for Rachel to finally open up to even Coleman, that seemed like a lot had to make that come out of her, you know, and her mom was saying, like, they'll never love you, or no one will ever love you if you tell them this, you're damaged, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, mom. But, like, I cannot see that. I don't think she knows. I don't know, though. It's hard to say, because she does know her mom's the devil, but is it only because she's seen, I mean, even what we've seen of Rachel's mom, she doesn't seem like a walk in the park or like a nice lady. So maybe it's just judging off of that. I'm not sure.
See, I kind of think she does know the whole story, just because that one scene, I think it was in the last episode, where she sees like Rachel and her mom walking on set together, just that look in her eyes is like very panicked. So I don't know. I feel like she kind of does for some reason.
Yeah, I think she does too. I feel that. I think we will know more, because, listen, there's two storylines that I think, okay, cool, we got explanations for this episode, thank you, but I don't think we're getting the whole story. I think that the Rachel story with this guy when she was 12 that she was raped by, I think there is more to that that I at least want to learn, and I hope they give us. I think maybe, like, Rachel hurt him, and there's, like, some whole other thing. I don't know. And then with the Yael storyline, I kind of want there to be another tack that, like, oh, she's a reporter, and, you know, she is, I don't know. I'm just still waiting for that other shoe to drop with Yael.
Like, how did she get in this to begin with? Because how would she even know about, oh, my gosh, I always forget that woman's name. That committed suicide last
Mary.
Mary. I was going to say Molly, but it's not Molly.
She found all this stuff out from Jeremy, yeah. Oh, you
but mean. what would make her even go into the, like, she had to have had some information prior, and what would make me, I guess, kind of confuse or ask questions is what would have gotten her to where she is now. Something would have had to motivate her to get her where she is now, or she's like, something's not right, or she had to know something. And if she knew something, considering how top secret all of this information is, how did she get it? That's why I think she has to be more connected in some way, or I'm hoping she is.
Me too. What do you think, Taylor?
I don't know. I hadn't even, like, thought about that, but that's a really good point that you raised, because she does, I think she does specifically ask about Mary, and they really tried to, like, cover that up last, well, yeah, because they said it was suicide mm-hmm. on the, I don't know.
Well, but now Rachel has admitted on camera that they killed yeah. her.
Coleman.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, I mean, as you said, when you figured that out, Danae, and you, because all the girls were curious, I know, because we've talked to a few of them, and then you guys all found that out. I mean, was it really fun, like, working together, everybody kind of like, yay, we've, like, unsolved this mystery that, like, we've all been wondering about?
Yeah, it was fun, especially because they were so good at keeping certain secrets from us. Certain things we did all know, but certain things, they were, like, solid, like a vault. So it was definitely like a... I think with the Rachel thing, that was obviously, I think, it was just so tragic, you know? But with the Yael stuff, it was kind of like, see, I told you. Yeah, I already guessed that. Well, you thought it was this, you know?
Yeah.
And then we all had our thoughts of, like, what it could have been or what it should have been or what they should do next and all this stuff. Like, you know, not our jobs.
Well, on that note, let's get into some quick questions for Danae before we let her go. I have one from Denise, who is NVGhost005, and we've talked about this a little bit, but, you know, what really went into the meetup with Darius, and, like, why did she even bother, and how, you know, like, we've talked about this, but for you as an actress and for the character going into that, how did that work?
I think that she does love him, and I think that I feel like he may have surprised her in the sense of being like, hey, I'm in town. Not necessarily I'm thinking about coming to town. So I think, first of all, she knows something must be up if he left the show. And then second of all, I'm assuming he must have told her what had gone on with him and Romeo, because in the scene, he just says, and after what happened with my cousin, he doesn't necessarily go into it. So I feel like he maybe filled her in a little bit more, and I think that Ruby obviously does have a heart, and I think does care about him and wants to know if Romeo's okay, wants to know if he's okay, and I think that while she doesn't necessarily go into it thinking that he can win her over, I think that there's a part of her that loves him, and I think there's a part of her that's a human that just, this crazy thing just happened, and is... I think it also pulls on her activist strings of these two black men that suffered from police brutality, and what does she know about this, and what can he tell her? So, yeah, I think it was a little multifaceted.
I will say this, though. I was disappointed that we didn't get more of an explanation of, like, okay, we got, like, a half second of Romeo's okay. That's it. I thought Romeo was dead. His eyes were open last week after he was shot. But, yeah, they very briefly just were like, he's okay. I hope we get more.
Gotta know more about that. I want to see him. Yeah. I want to see Romeo. If he's okay, show us to him.
Yeah, there was originally a scene where we went to the hospital with him in that episode, and I guess it got cut. I was a little disappointed, because I thought it was a really nice scene between he and Darius, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good to know, yeah. Do you guys have any quick questions for Danae?
What was your favorite episode to film this season?
Ooh, favorite... I think episode 4, when we, oddly enough, we were in those ridiculous football costumes, and we were just, like, on that football field, we all looked at each other, we were like, oh my god, we look like fools, and we had to, like, behave like we were drunk, and we, like, ad-libbed a lot, and I think it was actually warm that day, and we were like, because all the other bikini scenes, it was absolutely frigid, and that day it was warm, and we were all out there, and it was just, like, most of us women were, like, just on set together that day, and it was just fun. We were just, like, really goofy and making up dances, and they ended up using some of our ridiculous stuff, which is always awesome. Fun to see, because we were actually just, I'm just like complete goofballs, and that was fun. And then like Ruby got to kind of have some of transformation moments that episode, and got to wear that really cute outfit, which I love. And yeah,
you had a really amazing line that episode with the girls. Like, I think what you were talking about, where you were like, what did you say? You were like, she said, I was gonna be a doctor.
Was completely ad-libbed. We were all goofing around, and Adam just like left the camera rolling, and I said that, and then Kit spit out her water on all of us. It was so funny, and so they ended up keeping it.
That's amazing, because that was so funny and so real, but an interaction between the girls. I loved it.
Yeah, me too. We talked about that during that after show. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, that's because we were all, it was just a real moment.
What about you, Taylor?
Okay, so like besides Ruby, who's your favorite like contestant character? Because there's so many good ones this season.
That's a really good question. Who's my favorite? I think at the beginning, I think it's somewhere between Chantal and Yael. I think at the beginning, Yael and Ruby definitely connected as like the smart girls in the room.
Yeah.
I love their friendship. Yeah.
Like, as much as like Chantal is like so setting feminism back so many decades, I really appreciate, she's just like honestly there trying to love this man. And they keep making a fool out of her.
She's so funny.
Because like, I think of all of the women, while I think her ulterior motives are really to be just like an awesome like wife to this person and kids and that whole thing, where the rest of us are like, I want my platform, or I'm a reporter, I want to get away from my dad. She's like, Darius, I'll be a great wife to you.
You know, that's funny, because we had Megan Tandy in the studio last week for our after show, and we asked her who, you know, she would have liked to be as if she was cast as a different contestant. Who was her favorite? And she said you. Ruby.
Megan, you know, we started to have this thing where I would call her auntie and she would call me niecey. We're like, she's like sort of like my big sis on set, so that's sweet.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to let you go. One more time for all the fans, where can they find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at just at Denae Benton, DeneeBenton.
Well, you have gained a lot of fans here everywhere, yes. And we can't wait to follow your career. So thank you so much for coming on. I'm thrilled.
Thank you for having me. Have a great night, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, guys. So let's get into some quick predictions before we officially wrap up.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So quick, Steve. I'm impressed. On it.
Okay, so I definitely think that Ruby's going to come back, but I don't think it'll be a happy ending. And I think it's been openly known, not just something we kind of have to predict that he's kind of shady, but I think it's going to be very clear towards just like the last two episodes. I think he's going to make some really like bad decisions. And I'm hoping, this is more of a hope, and someone actually mentioned this in the chat as well, that Quinn and Rachel will get on top of Yael and Coleman before they do anything to blow things up. Because, I mean, there's got to be a season three, guys, and what is season three of Unreal without Everlasting?
There is. Officially, there is, of course. Yes. Yeah. So there will be. What about you, Taylor?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Quinn and Rachel are definitely going to come back together to take these two down. I know in the promo we had, like, Quinn, like, swinging a golf cart at the golf club.
She
was pulling a Britney, but with the flat screens.
Like, at the TV, and I'm wondering if that's, like, maybe they're putting, like, Rachel's confession on it or something. Like, that's a total long shot, but, like, why else would she be hitting it? Because, like, Rachel's her girl, you know?
So true.
So, yeah, I'm wondering if that... And I'm hoping Chantal wins it, because I've been reading her from, like, the first, like, episode of the season, so.
Well, for me, real quick, I am going to say I think Quinn is going to, like, be on Rachel's side till the bitter end, and I think that Coleman is going to end up, like, shooting himself in the foot, because he's going to think, oh, well, worst comes to worst, you know, Rachel will get in trouble, but I think they're going to end up pinning it all on him, and he's going to get arrested by the end of the season.
Ooh.
That's my big one. That
I like that.
That I know you like that. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We have a very another special guest next week, which we will announce via Twitter in the next week. So one more time, ladies, where can everyone find you on the internet?
Hey, guys, I'm Renee Ariel, and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at Renee Ariel.
I'm Taylor Gates. You can find me on Twitter at @alphabet_Anne and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
And guys, you can find me, Sam Davidson, at samdavidsonentertainment.com, Twitter and Instagram at samd43, and don't forget to hashtag ABTVUnreal because we love chatting with you guys, or just tweet at us. We will see you next week and announce our special guest via Twitter.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.